So, you know, so much of when we have these questions, so much of this has to do with just basically ethics. Like you're making moral decisions. We have to apply scripture. Questions come up. And the questions that people are asking online, even if you don't have the exact same question come up, the thing is you have to answer. You have to make decisions and you have to answer questions in your own thinking all the time about whether you're going to go to the right, whether you're going to go to the left, whether you're going to make a decision to do this, to allow a certain thing in your life. We're all there. What are we seeking? And basically, what are we after? When it comes to ethics, when it comes to morality, when it comes to what you do, what you don't do, what are we ultimately after? Whether you eat or drink? Right. We're after, what we want to do is we're trying to figure out what pleases the Lord. And if you know your Bibles well enough, you know that there's an epistle written to the Romans that seems to indicate that there are certain areas of life that out of conviction you may choose to go to the right and somebody else may choose to go to the left, and both do it for the glory of God. And is God glorified in both? Yes. Scripture speaks that way. Because the real issue is God looks at your heart, and God knows when you're doing things that ultimately your goal is to please Him. Even if in the end, maybe your thinking on something is faulty, because remember, there is a weak brother. That weakness seems to indicate something. But even if you make the decision to do something and it comes of weakness, the very fact that you're wanting to do it because you think that's what's going to glorify God, God knows your heart. God knows the motive. And the motive is really important to God. Why? Well, it's for the same reason a parent. If you're a parent and your child does something and you come to recognize that what the child did, like the child went and watered the plant and they overflowed it and they killed it. The thing just root rotted and but you recognized that they were trying to please you. Are you going to go beat them? So is it, God is looking and we're His children, and so He's that's what we're after in all of this. Okay, this first one comes from actually somebody within the church. And it's got to, I'll just tell you right off, I'm going to try to hit four questions tonight. One has to do with games of deceit. Another one has to do with toddler modesty. Another one has to do with disqualification from the ministry because of adultery. And another one has to do with trying to be saved. So, first one, game of deceit. Do you have any thoughts on whether or not playing board games that involve lying is a good idea or not? A lot of young people do partake in this in the church. And I'm assuming that the church means our church, because it comes from somebody within our church. This, in our church, out of the young people, lying is part of the rules in the game. So, you understand that you're actually playing a game where you sit down and everybody at the table recognizes right up front that everybody else is going to seek to be deceitful. So, and that's whether that in your mind makes it right or wrong, what you're recognizing. I mean, we might want to just start out by saying, what is lying? Anybody want to make a go at defining lying? What was that? Intentional deception. Yeah, that might be a good way to put it. It's basically what you're doing is you're seeking to affirm somehow, I would say, speech. Lying lips is a big thing. Keep a watch over the door of my lips. The tongue, the lips. Lying is most in the scriptures connected with our speech. But it could be something you write. You could write something that's deceptive, and it could even be an action. If you ask your child whether they did something, and they did it, and they do this, even though maybe no word came out of their mouth, they just communicated a deception to you. And so it's the idea is that you're communicating something to somebody else that you believe isn't true. That's a basic idea. You have an intent to deceive. Now, brethren, I guess there's a number of places that we might bring up. But I'm just going to say this. You sit down at a table. You got a group of young people. Everybody knows you're playing a game where you're striving to deceive each other. What do you think? Apply Scripture. Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it... I mean, where are you going to go? See, this is a question that comes, is this right, is this wrong? What's going to go through your mind? What are you going to think about as far as whether this is something that you ought to be involved with or not?
So a thought I have is, a surprise, you know, for someone that you're trying to keep from them, and you might be saying something where in the end you know they're going to find out the truth, and you're not trying to willfully, permanently.
Now see, I have that in my list. Okay. I asked Ruby to go out Friday night and go out to dinner when I know everybody's coming over to the house and we're going to have a birthday party. Jonathan's throwing that out as though that's acceptable. Now, I'm not saying just because he threw it out and I said it's in my list that I'm saying that I would do it or not do it. I'm just saying... Okay, we can come up with examples. What are the examples? Could you be a spy? Is being a spy a biblical thing? Any spies in Scripture? Any God-ordained spies in Scripture? Could you be an undercover police officer and have to work with cartel? Do you think that it can be substantiated that we should lie? Do you think those spies that Moses sent into the land actually had to lie? Now, we're not told that they did necessarily, but how about just silence? Is silence deceptive? Or how about this? I always remember our brother who played professional football. He talked about when he was in college how they were playing Notre Dame. He played for LSU. And he was running into the end zone, and he said he looked left, just quickly glanced left, and it threw the cornerback off of him. Cornerback cut left, he cut right. Was that deceptive? If you're playing basketball and you act like you're going to pass the ball that way, the guy goes that way and now you pass, is that deceptive? Was it meant to be deceptive? Do we play the game knowing that that is going to be deceptive? Does that count? He didn't really lie. Can you take his action one way or the other? How about David telling, remember that guy Hushai? You remember Hushai and Ahithophel? They were both counselors to David. And then the whole thing with Absalom happened. And then David told Hushai, go back, basically pretend that you're loyal to him so that you can undo Ahithophel's counsel. How about David acting like he's a madman? I mean, I'm throwing these things out here. God himself sent a deceptive spirit. You ever read that? I'm not really telling you about what's right or wrong here, but if, you know what? Jesus was in the business in the Gospels of striving to conceal who he was. In ways. How about that? How about hyperbole? I mean, somebody says something that if taken literally is just simply not true. What do you think about all these things? How about punctuality? How about when you say, I'll be there at 7? How about when you unintentionally say something that's not true? We do that. What about all these things? Of course, you got Rahab and the midwives. I understand that some in the last few years, those kind of things, whether it's appropriate to lie, came up. I guess what Wilson was, you know, the whole thing with COVID and vaccinations and passports. And anyways, I'm throwing a bunch of scenarios out there. But let me give you some scripture. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Exodus 20 and verse 16. So bearing false witness against your neighbor. Okay, how about Job 27:4? My lips will not speak falsehood. My tongue will not utter deceit. Jeremiah 9:5, everyone deceives his neighbor. No one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. Notice that. They taught their tongue to speak lies. I would just ask this. You sit down, even if it's for fun, and you are going to take fun in telling lies. Do you think, and I'm just asking you this, honestly, do you think that if you spend a whole night rejoicing, having fun, and telling lies, do you think that will not affect you in your truth-telling going forward? I would just ask you to really consider that. Do you think that the more you tell lies playing a game, that that is not going to affect you at all as you move forward from that night? I'm just asking the question. They taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity. Brethren, I can tell you something in this season. I have been, for the better part of 4 years in the UK, I was basically gone nigh unto the entire Biden administration. I did not care about UK politics. And I wasn't here to care about US politics. They went through kings and three prime ministers. And I don't even know how their government works after being there for 4 years. It's still a mystery to me. And I was so at peace. It's just been in the last week or two that I have plugged into politics and media. I can tell you, listening to people lie, they just bold-faced lie. I don't know about the rest of you. I am so sick of lies. The idea of one who sits on the throne and rules us, who will do nothing ever but tell the truth, I would think that we would be ready to vomit out. And I'm just speaking. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God who never lies, not playing a game. Now, he might have sent a deceptive spirit. And you know, there's a place in what? 2 Thessalonians. God will allow there to be lies to be believed by people who want to believe lies. God will see to it that you got a lie to believe. I mean, that's... Do not lie to one another. Colossians 3:9, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. I would just say this, whether you're playing, you say, oh, but we're just playing a game. But are you playing a game that caters to the old man or to the new? And when there's so many games to be played, why choose one that does that? That would be my question. And have put on the new man, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. And what's the image of the creator? God who never lies. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Does a game like that resemble God more or the devil more? I'm just asking. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. When you lie, whatever the context, are you speaking more to the character of God or more to the character of the devil? Just asking. He is a liar and the father of lies. And I'll tell you this, whatever you want to say about the midwives, whatever you want to say about Rahab, I will tell you this. I never find in my Bible where their lying was condoned. I find where their faith was, not their lying. And I find this, Jesus is our example. And Jesus never found it necessary to lie. Not ever. Psalm 15, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart. What about like when Israel went to fight Ai and they faked a retreat? What do you think? Is that okay?
Well, sir, in love and war.
What? Give me chapter and verse. Brethren, I think that when you're talking war, I guess that could be another whole discussion as to whether we would take the warfare of the Old Testament and somehow condone certain things that happen today. Jesus came and he simply set a standard that we are called to imitate. We're called to walk like he walked. And I recognize that there is a place for bearing the sword. There's a place for police. There's a place for undoubtedly undercover police. There's a place for spies. There's a place for having military. Now, to what degree Christians should be involved in that, that is another question altogether. But I'll tell you this, that the perfect man never found it necessary to lie, and God never lies, and the new man is created in his image. And brethren, I think it's different if you're playing basketball. Nobody looks at that as dishonesty. If you're playing a game where everybody's intentionally being dishonest, there is obvious dishonesty happening. There's dishonesty with the lips. When you're in sports, I mean, it's part just about every single sport that you can imagine. You are trying to get the ball to a place. You are trying to somehow be the victor in this game. And it is understood that you are going to use your physical ability and agility to try to advance that ball, and faking a pass this way and then throwing it this way is different than when you're articulating deception. In You may find issue with that. If you do, then don't play football, don't play basketball. I mean, pitchers hide the ball. Why? Because they want to deceive the batter into thinking they are going to throw one kind of pitch and throw another kind. Because they're, I mean, I don't think anybody looks at a pitcher and recognize and thinks there's deception. But, brethren, I just say this, that, you know, you can assess sports wherever you want. You opt out, you opt to not do it. You know, you'll come here on the 4th of July and you'll see guys with those balls and they will fake throwing at somebody and then, or they will look this way and throw that way. Is that deception? What are you going to all do? Stop. James, that's deception. Our pastor's a liar. Well, no, you don't come to that assessment. But you know what? When you're specifically training yourself in a game to try to manipulate through deception, brethren, I wouldn't go there. I'd pick another game. Brethren, if there's anything in this world that's needed, it is honesty. We, of all people in this world, we need to be people whose work ethic, we have an integrity, we have an honesty. I mean, you just think about this. Who's going to sojourn in your, who's going to dwell in your holy hill? What do you want to do? Try to get as close to the line as possible to be one of the people that doesn't dwell on his holy hill, that doesn't speak truth in his heart? Don't train yourself in that, brethren. I hope that from the moment God has saved you, if you're taking this new man thing really seriously, it is being created in the image of God. If there's anything we should be patterning ourselves after, it is not to become as much like the world as possible. The world just, they lie. They indiscriminately lie. Lying is such a tolerated thing today. It's just the media and the politicians, it's just, I cannot believe how much they lie. It's just, it sickens me. I don't want, last thing I'd want to do is sit down and try to train myself to be like that. Anyways, give me your feedback.
It's interesting in Luke 3, when the soldiers converted, you know, he says, do not extort money from anyone or falsely accuse anyone. So, you know, falsely accusing deals with lying. But it's like the people he's trying to protect, that's who Christ really holds the soldier accountable to. Just as far as you're saying, there's a distinction there between who the soldier's fighting compared to the people he's supposed to be protecting, and he's called to be honest with those people, to be above reproach, no deceit.
In a war, you don't say what you're doing. You don't tell the enemy your plans. You know, you strike them when they're least expecting it, and objectively, it's different, but that's the different thing about Christianity when we think about like Old Testament wars and kingdoms fighting each other. It's like the Christian kingdom is not one that's won by through war, not, you know, wars with swords and guns. So
Rudy and Bethany left their light on tonight to make it look like somebody was home, so the thieves wouldn't break in.
Garage is open. They could have just
that was that. Deceptive, brother. Deceptive.
So I see the difference of what you're saying between the sports and the game. I'm still having a difficulty in that the deception is happening with the sport, and the same thing is happening with the game. I understand there is a difference, but I still see the root kind of being similar to the same. So I'm trying to see why one would be acceptable and one wouldn't.
Well, I would start with the game. I think you're training yourself in deception. You are reveling in deception. If you don't think there's a difference between that and sports, my whole thing is to target the game thing. I would just ask you, are you training yourself to be more like God or more like the devil? That's where I'm going with that. I think there's a difference when you're playing sports. There's an expectation that you're seeking to advance the ball, you're seeking to throw the guy off. Nobody looks at that as deception. They look at that as basic. Now, if you think so, then I think the thing that you have to ask yourself, look, we all have to have a clear conscience. Every one of us. And I just ask you again, see, I think the difference is this. When you sit at a table and you got a board game and you're actually thinking about how to deceive, you don't go out onto the basketball court with plans of deception. You recognize that you're going to go here, you're going to go there, you're going to seek to dribble that way and go that way, or seek to act like you're passing the ball that way and throw it that way. But nobody is actually thinking and honing their mind to deceive. It's like, and people don't look at you that way. It is not looked at that a quarterback who can pass this way to Kelsey while he's looking this way. Nobody looks at that and says, that is like the most deceptive quarterback. But if you're playing this game and you're able to basically deceive other people, I mean, you're actually sitting down to seek to hone your craft at deception. And look, if I'm just saying this, that brethren, if you think that seeking to play a game where you're trying to artfully deceive other people, and that you're going to then walk forward in the rest of life, and that is not going to affect your integrity or your ability to speak the truth, I don't think you're being honest. I think what you're doing is you're honing yourself to make it easier. Brethren, I don't know about you, but when I was lost, I was a big liar. A big liar. And one of the things that I just, being saved, is going back and actually opening up with people about some of the big lies that I told and had a lot of impact or effect in that I just felt God brought to my mind. And if there's anything, I mean, we should really be striving to be people that tell the truth. Now, I recognize sometimes we're going to say things and we don't remember exactly the right way and we unintentionally say things, but that's entirely different than you honing your skills to deceive. Biblically speaking, that is a devilish thing. Yeah, I don't think you can get away from it. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. God, no lie in him. Jesus, you cannot find, well, there were times he was silent. There were times he didn't want it to be known who he was. But you cannot charge him with deception at all.
Would you say someone who is an undercover cop who's trying to infiltrate a sex trafficking ring to protect children would be bad? Like, would you say that's deception if they're really trying to protect children?
I think that comes down to basically the telltale story of the Jews are hidden in the cellar, the Nazis break in, these kind of things really happen. All you got to do is watch Corrie Ten Boom. Are we justified in telling lies to preserve life? And as has often been said, real life has complexities that go way beyond yes or no. For instance, if the Nazis came in, you're dealing with real life and blood people. If they said, are you housing Jews here? You could say, look, we're a Christian family, and even if we were, we're not going to tell you that we are. And have you thought about your own soul? You see, we can try to skirt the answer. Actually, our brethren that have labored so many years over in China, one of the things that they taught their kids was how to skirt answering the questions asked by the Chinese police, interrogators, and yet not lie. They did not sanction lying, but they recognized Are you being taught the Bible? Oh, we're being taught many things. We're being taught sewing and hygiene. And now, you know, the inquisitor might not settle for that. Over there where they save face, that worked. I think a lot of times our mindset should be, you probably know the story, Corrie ten Boom's sister and her brothers are under the table. Well, they were. And when she said it, she'd already dropped something. She was picking up the glass pieces down there, and she's being, and well, I have an older brother, and he's at the, well, and my grandfather's over here. And the guy's like, that's not what I asked you. See, Germans are not like the Chinese. They ask that question, and she said they're under the table. And the girl couldn't take it any longer. I mean, the tension of it all, she just burst out hysterically laughing. And the guy felt like he was, you know, being laughed at and mocked, and they all stormed out. And the boys were under the table. And see, this was even contested in their family, because Corrie had a sister who taught those kids, you don't lie under any circumstances. But they really went back and forth on, and a lot of the Dutch did, on whether they should or shouldn't. And look, all I'll say is, you cannot find that God lies. Nor can you find that Jesus did. And once we begin to try to justify, see, I think that there are other ways around this. And it's not just simply, as a Christian, do I have to play a part in some kind of clandestine operation where I am being put in a position to lie? Even as a spy, is it possible to call yourself by another name, a nickname or something, where you're not actually lying? I mean, you can be silent about things. You cannot say certain things about things. I probably would find it extremely difficult to be an undercover. I don't think I could be an undercover police officer.
Just to hit all the major scriptures, I think really Grace just brought it up earlier. When Jesus acted like he was going to go farther, and then you went with the two on the road to Emmaus, what should we make of that?
Well, that would be more like, that would be more like the action. And the thing is, actions, would he have gone further? You know what? He very well may have. You want to be careful with Jesus doing things like that, because a lot of times people read into it the deity of Christ, and they say, well, he knew ahead of time what he was going to do, so why would he act like he was going to do that? I might actually say, Jesus as a man, he learned. Jesus as a man had to walk over to the fig tree to see if there were figs on it. Jesus as a man may very well have been minded to go further. And if, unless he was needed or beckoned to not go further, he would have. And so I think we get into trouble when we begin to read the deity of Christ into all these passages. Now, you say, well, wasn't he God? Listen, there's mysteries to Jesus as a man that we just have to kind of accept. But there, he definitely at times was limited. He had to learn. Even as a child, he had to grow in his learning.
On that note, what do you make of John 7, where Jesus tells his brothers, you go up to the feast, I'm not going, but then later he goes.
You know, there is a textual issue there. Actually, the Byzantine text has yet. And I'm just going to say my gut, even though I'm reading from the ESV, I'm real partial to my Allen wide margin. I probably prefer the Byzantine text, the Textus Receptus. I know that, like Bob Jennings, he said at the end of his life, he said that he preferred the New King James. Now, he used the New American Standard for stretches, but he said, all said and done, he preferred the New King James. I would say the same. If I had it to do all over again, I would not have gone to the... But there is a textual issue there. And so, yes, that gets brought up.
LSB adds it.
They included it? Okay.
Can you... You know, the stereotypical thing where, like, you know, the wife, like, asks the husband, like, does this dress, like, make me look, like, a little, like, bigger? And can you justify, like...
Lying?
Yeah, being... I mean, lying to not hurt her feelings, or is it the more loving thing to be honest?
Look, we need to be people of truth. Do I recognize that we get put in situations... I can tell you this. Jesus was often put into situations where they thought they had him cornered. But see, real life isn't just yes or no. As we can see in many of Jesus' answers, he answered in a way that was so... I mean, sometimes just surprise us. Should I pay taxes? Should I not pay taxes? I mean, you have questions. Do we stone this lady taken in adultery? Do we not stone her? You see, so often they're just looking for the yes or the no. And if he says this, we got him. And if he says this, we got him. And then he'd answer in another way where they're just like, man, who talks like him? What we need is, you know, a guy can say, well, that's not my favorite dress. There are things you can say. But listen, if you're a people pleaser and your primary thing is not to ever hurt anybody's feelings and you're going to default to I'm not going to hurt their feelings no matter if I have to lie or not, then you're going to lie. If your starting presupposition here in life is I'm going to tell the truth. Now, there may be times when it's hard to tell it, but we also need to be wise. God, help us. I mean, one of the things, get up each morning and ask God, help me to live today. Do you guys ask that? Like, even about things that you don't even know what's coming. It's like, Lord, just help me to live today. Help me to be right today. Help me to please you today. Because you get into situations like that where it's like, man, what do I say? Life is full of those kind of situations.
Well, what you mentioned about Andy, I believe you said Andy taught us kids, I think you said that. My thing is like the whole intentional deception. So like they're not technically saying a lie, but they're diverting, but in order to intentionally deceive, right? So it's just that tension within me.
It would be basically the same as silence. It would be the same as I don't want to communicate to them something that is true. No different than Jesus not wanting to communicate fully who he was at a certain time in his ministry.
I don't believe it's wrong that they did that. I find that tension because I feel like that is intentionally deceiving, right? Because you're getting them to believe something else. And
well, you're intentionally withholding something.
Okay. But yeah, you're getting them to believe something different in your response.
See, I think that we, like God has designed something into us to recognize that an overt lie is different than that. I mean, it feels that way. But look, at the end of the day, I would say this. We all need to be living with a clear conscience before the Lord. And we need to be people that are, I don't know how anybody could be living with a clear conscience before the Lord if they're regularly telling lies. I mean, to know that my life is a deception and that I'm telling lies to people. It's like, I can remember I had a boss, and after I was saved, we really messed up with the Madison Square Garden job. And he basically sat the whole engineering department in there and he said, you will lie to Madison Square Gardens. And it's like, no, I will not. You'll fire me before that, but... Any brother...
So back to Hunter's question about the Emmaus Road, and if I understand your logic right in regard to Jesus growing and learning, Jesus was in a glorified body at that point in time. But I did think that when it says that he acted like he was going to go one way and didn't, I would say that that's a statement of perception mm-hmm. instead of in actuality. You know? Mm-hmm. That's the perception of those two disciples. Mm-hmm. So am I on track with you with the first part in regards to growing in stature? Was that your logic for the fact that he was...
Well, even glorified, it's like... Even glorified, I would ask you this. Did he know the time of his return? There are mysteries about this, well, you call it the hypostatic union of these two. I mean, listen, you are going to come to places where you just simply cannot answer how this can be. One of the great mysteries is how God can become man, and him be fully man and fully God, him become fully man in the way that he had to depend upon his Father and depend upon the Holy Spirit, and yet he doesn't renounce any of his deity. We don't fully understand what emptying himself means, but we know he did. And there comes a place... We should be asking questions. We should be studying his person in depth, down to the details. But I'll tell you, there's going to be a place where you're going to say, that's a miracle. And how it all works out, I don't know. But because there are mysteries. There are things, will we know in glory? Well, we'll know a lot more. Will we ever know it all? Never all, but will we have answers to some of these questions? I don't know. But it seems like as a man, even in his glorified state, I would just ask, brethren, I don't know how it strikes you, but the very fact, it's almost like we're okay with him when he's a toddler or he's 12 years old, growing in wisdom, growing in this learning like any child would. But then all of a sudden when he gets to adulthood, the fact that he doesn't know the time of his second coming, then all of a sudden we're baffled by that. And you know, sometimes we think, well, Jesus knew what was in men's hearts. He didn't need anybody to tell him about this. But yet at the same time, then why doesn't he know whether there's fruit on that tree? It's like you look at these things and it's just, there's mystery.
Back to the question specifically about the game. I don't know if there's different types of games that the question is referencing, but the games that I know that are called like deception games, they're often it's you're playing a role. Like you're given a character, okay, you're this character. So would you consider acting a character or a role to the line?
Well, that would be another thing I could have added to the list, where you're acting a part and it's not really you. I didn't answer a lot of these as to whether they're right or wrong. I'm just kind of throwing them at you. It's like we have to be thinking about the pursuit of honesty. To what degree you're going to allow these things into your life that I've mentioned here, would you mislead? You want to teach your children there's a Santa Claus? Or you want to mislead your wife about the fact that there's a party on Friday? I personally wouldn't have a clear conscience to do that in a way that I was felt like I was being deceptive. I want a clear conscience. And I think we all have to wrestle with, look, I don't know all these games. I haven't played these games. You need to make. But like I say, if you're training yourself in deception, are you training yourself to be more like God or more like the devil? I mean, just ask yourself that. And when you play a game like this, where you are honing your ability to be deceptive, do you think that doesn't impact the rest of your life and your honesty? You just have to be honest with that. So I'm asking you, you have to reflect on that. We're not going to create the church game police. I mean, you guys, this comes down to an ethical thing where the goal is to please the Lord. And if you're going to choose to do, I mean, you have to ask yourself this. Whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink or whether you don't eat or drink. So I would say this. Can you say with a clear conscience, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to play this game that is all full of deception, and I'm going to do it to the glory of God? I mean, that's what we have to ask. Okay, quickly to the next one.